great to be here with you guys again. We're really seeking the Lord this week, because I realize this is the first time we've seen you in this year. Because at the beginning of January, when we were supposed to be here, I think Con had a bit of a chest infection, and it got to that point where I couldn't leave her to come out here. And so Haley did an amazing job, as she's been doing regularly in the church, to bring a great word here. You are so blessed. You really are so blessed. You've got some very, very gifted people all the way through who love the Lord, and the Lord loves them, and God will speak through them. So, you know, we were really asking God in this time for what's the way ahead for each one of us here, as corporately and individually? And we are living in testing times. I mean, not only are people getting attacked with health issues, but you just have to look around the world and you see. You know, it's like, if you read in Matthew 24, it's a bit like reading the newspapers today, because there's wars and rumors of wars and escalations of wars and all sorts of things going on there. And some places are in famine. That the famines are not even being mentioned in the news, because the news is so much about the wars and things that are going on. But I really felt the Lord say, keep our eyes on Him. We might, if we get a chance, we might even sing, you know, you're greater than it all. But the important thing is for us to know that God has a good plan for each one of us in this church. And when we were praying through yesterday, God gave us a really fabulous passage of Scripture, which is very encouraging, because we were actually beginning to study Merstham and looking at some of the history. And then we found out about, well, Con will share more about it. I better not steal her thunder. But, you know, this foundation, this place was a great place for incredible stones. And the stones have been used in St. Paul's and other places. So I'm going to get Con to come up before I take it over. But I know what the Lord said to me. You know, it talks about this in Thessalonians about you guys, and it was very much about you. It says, you know, continue to do what you're doing, but just be vigilant to be available to God. We had a 3 weeks of fasting and praying in our church, and we'd have encounter meetings every Tuesday and Wednesday. And in one of those encounters, every encounter was different, but it was a time when God was really speaking. And I heard the voice of the Lord behind me, so I had to come up and share it with Pastor Clive, and Clive wanted me to share it. And I could hear what the Lord was saying. He was asking a question. It's similar to what he asked Isaiah in Isaiah chapter 6. He said, but his words were not, whom shall I send? Who will go for us? He said, are you available? Are you willing? That was the question. And then I could hear voices of people responding, and they were saying things like, I'm unable. I'm not ready. And God said, I am not asking you if you're available, if you're ready. I'm asking you, are you willing? And if you're willing, he says, I am able. I am able to fill everything you need. And I believe that's what God's saying about us now in this season that we're in. Because there's challenging times. But, you know, people out there who don't know Jesus have no hope. But we in this place, because we know who he is, we have all the hope that we need. And we need to share it with others. So, you know, the question God is asking us at the end of today, whenever, is, are you willing? And if you say you're willing, don't worry about lacking knowledge, lacking ability, lacking energy, whatever it is. He'll give you everything you need when you say, yes, I'm willing. Yes, I'm available. I'm going to pass on to Connie, otherwise I'll preach.
I heard him mention stones, and I knew he pinched part of my message. So he stopped. Sorted. Oh, thank you. Does help? Right, we're going to look at a scripture, which is 1 Peter 2, verse 4 to 10. I think we've got it up there, have we? Yep. Hang on, mine's just gone missing. I've got a different version to you. Is it too? What? Thank you very much. Yeah, sorry, my voice is not very strong yet. I've been struggling with no voice at all for a long time, but it's back. So today it has to be amplified a little bit more, I think. Can you all hear me at the back? You can, thank you. Okay, let's just pray, shall we? Let's pray for this message, because this is, I know this is from God's heart for you. And it's not for any other church this morning, it's for you. So, you know, God is, he's got his eyes on this place for this message. And that means every one of you here is counted special to him. And he's ready and willing and able to meet you in your heart today. Amen. So, Father, we just thank you, Lord, for the message that you've given us, Father. And I thank you, Lord, that we are privileged to come and deliver it, Father, as your servants. And Father God, I thank you for this congregation, Lord, who have their ears attentive to what you're saying today and their eyes wide open to see what the Spirit of God is doing. And I pray for their hearts, Lord, that they would receive and understand in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. So, yeah, we've been praying about what message to bring you for quite a long time, and getting, you know, the usual response from God, which is nothing. You know, when he doesn't answer you and you're thinking, oh Lord, come on. And but we decided to press on and press on and press on, and we had a day yesterday when we had, you know, time where we could really meet with God and come into his presence. And lots of little things he'd said to us over the last few weeks began to sort of crystallize and come together. And Alistair asked me to start, you know, bringing the message today, and then probably he'll complete it, we'll see. But we felt, okay, let's go with what God said, and let's see how it needs to be built on. Because I believe this is not a one-off message. This is a message for this church today, but it's a message that God is actually sending throughout the churches of the land, this land in particular, because he's actually moving. He's already moving in this land, and he's got something he's planning. And it's really important, if that's the case, that we don't miss our timing. Because if this is the time when God is saying, I'm going to visit this land, and I have something I want to do there, then we need to be tuned in to the Holy Spirit to know that this is the time and that all of us are part of it. Amen? Now, this land, I can tell you, in the past, has missed out before. Because there was a lady, I think I've told you before, she was a prophetess called Jean Darnell. I'm sure some of you have heard of her. And she had a clear message from the Lord. She was American, and she came to England to deliver the message to the people. And God told her to start in Scotland and to bring the message. Part of her message, and it's not the whole of the message at all, but part of her message was that God wanted to move through the young people, through youth. And I don't believe God has ever changed his mind about that. He loves to move through young people when they're ready, when they're able to just say, I'm available, Lord. He loves to use them. And it doesn't matter whether they're 5 or whether they're 15 or whether they're 25 or whatever. You know, God loves just to use them because they've said, I want to be used. And that's the truth. So we felt that we should come today and really deliver what God had said. And he said to me, look up Wikipedia and study the history of Merstham. So I've been, the last couple of days, finding out all about Merstham and how its name has changed over the years and how different things have happened. But I see that this place was first mentioned in history books in the year 675. That's pretty old. God had Merstham on the map in 675 for everybody in the nation to know about it. Isn't that amazing? It's mentioned in the Doomsday Book as well. And so what was it that made Merstham so important? Well, it was because there were quarries here. And I'm sure some of you know that, and some of you might not. It doesn't matter. The quarries were very, very important, because when you quarry something, when you quarry stone from the ground, you have to dig very deep to bring the stone out, because the more you take out, the deeper you have to go, don't you, in order to keep the stone supplied. And it seems that this stone was a kind of sandstone, and it was very, very hard. And there are buildings today in London that are key buildings to this nation that were built out of the stone that was quarried here in Merstham. Do you know what they are? Do you know what any of these buildings are? Let me tell you. The King's Palace Westminster is one of them. Windsor Castle is another. St. Paul's Cathedral is another. London Bridge, which has now been sold and lives in America, is built out of the stonework from here. And many churches were built with the stones from Merstham. And I thought, Lord, this is so interesting that you're showing me all this. What are you trying to say? And he said, the way the people dug deep into the soil to bring out the stone and disperse it to where it was needed is exactly what I'm trying to do in the church in this land today. I want my church to go deep into relationship with me and into my word, so that I can help them learn the value of the word of God, which is like a foundation stone. Jesus is the foundation stone, isn't he? He's like our quarry, our quarried stone, on which we are founded in our relationship with him. And to have the church start to dispense the word all over the nation. So that's pretty special. And I thought, I don't know of any other church, or not church, but any other little village like this that has got the same kind of quarried, you know, results that we have today. Those buildings are still standing. They're not falling down. Windsor Castle, St. Paul's Cathedral, one of the biggest churches in London, is built from the quarried stone from this place. Now, of course, as they got deeper and deeper into the soil, and they, you know, the stone was harder to get out, some of those, there were tunnels that were miles under the ground. They had to be filled in because they would have collapsed and this whole area would have, you know, fallen apart. So there are very few tunnels that you can go into. But if you go into Reigate, you can go down the tunnels. Have you been down the tunnels and jumped on them and heard the ringing? You know, it's the same stuff. It's all related to this area. But it started here, in this place, which you might think is pretty insignificant. But oh boy, it's not. God is saying no. In my book, I put resources in that place for natural things, and I'm doing it again now for spiritual things. Amen? Amen. So you see, you are not insignificant. You are not just a little church in Merstham. Each one of you has a place in his plan to do again what was done in the natural, which is to dig deep, come into a much stronger relationship with him, know his word better than ever before, and be able to bring it to all those who are waiting for it because they don't know. What a wonderful call, isn't it? Now, is that just the call for this church? Of course not. It's the call for every church in the land, isn't it? It's the call for every Christian. So I thought, well, Lord, I need a word. 1 Peter 2, verse 4 to 10. And if you have got a Bible with you, do look at it. If not, we're going to look at it on here. My version is slightly different, but... Okay, and here's the word God gave. Now look at this. Isn't this amazing? Let's just read it together, shall we? Come to him. Who are we talking about?
Jesus.
He's saying, come to me. Come to me. As a living stone. A stone, you know, that he's put here in the same place as he put the quarried stone. He's put you here as a living stone. Rejected by men, but chosen by God and precious. Just say to somebody, you are precious in God's eyes. You are precious. Okay, can we have the next verse? Then it goes on to say what these living stones do. You also, as living stones, are built up as a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood. Does it say except Nostrum? Or except you?
No.
It's talking about all of us. Why? To offer up spiritual sacrifices available to God through Jesus Christ. What is our spiritual sacrifice? Any ideas? Yeah, it's whatever you want it to be. Whatever is a sacrifice to you. Worship particularly. God says he wanted worshippers in spirit and truth. And we are to worship him in spirit and truth because that is our sacrifice of praise. The Bible says it's a sacrifice of praise. When we come and we sacrifice ourselves to be a little bit louder than we were last week, and clap our hands a little bit more than we did last week, or to move our bodies a little bit more than last week, or be bold like you did and go and get a tambourine. Well done. God is saying that is what I class as a sacrifice of praise. And you know, when we praise God, what happens, the Bible says, you know, it says in the Psalms that we enter his gates through thanksgiving in our hearts. And we enter his courts with praise. So it's like the old tabernacle, if you can think of it, in the desert, had big curtains that you had to go through, and then you came into the outer court. And if you wanted to go further into the inner courts or whatever, you had to be the right person in the right clothing, and you had to be a priest. Well, here we are. We're being built up as a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood. That means we have access to go right into the throne room in the presence of God. There's nothing to stop us having that connection. God wants it. He wants us to enjoy being in fellowship with him. So let's go on to the next verse, shall we? Because it is contained in Scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, chosen and precious. He who believes in him will not be disappointed. And let's read the next verse, because that's also related to this. For you who believe, therefore, is the honor. But for those who are disobedient, the stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. That's the stone that people can stumble over. If you mention Jesus sometimes to people in the streets, or you know, you're trying to have a reasonable conversation with your nephews and your nieces and your aunts and your uncles and your mother and father, and they just don't want to know, the name of Jesus becomes a stumbling block to them. It's supposed to. They're supposed to stumble over the name of Jesus because he won't go away. He is forever and forever and forever, isn't he?
And the more somebody stumbles over the name of Jesus, the more Jesus will work in their lives to make it uncomfortable until the day when they will bow the knee and confess that he is Lord and, you know, make him the one that they love for the rest of their days. So, why did I bring all that? Well, I think I wanted to tell you something, a little bit more about something I've mentioned before. There has been this last week a three-day fast and prayer which took place in Northamptonshire. And it's by several organizations, one of which is called the National Day of Prayer and Worship. And there were hundreds and hundreds of pastors and leaders and intercessors who joined together and fasted for 3 days to ask the Lord, what are you doing in this nation? What do you want us to do in this nation as your church? We know we've got to go out and preach the message. Most of us don't like doing that very much, and we try to, you know, avoid it if we can. But for some, it's really easy. But God is saying that the word of God, that my name has to be known over the entire nation. Otherwise, people won't get saved. And if I asked you how many of you want to see your relatives in heaven, you'd all put your hands up, wouldn't you? Because we couldn't bear it if they weren't. So God has to do something in us to help us get ready so that we are willing, as Alistair said. That word willing is so important. We can think we're willing when we're not that willing. We're willing in some things, but not other things. And so there were some brief notes that were given, which we managed to get hold of, which told us what God was doing. And the first day, when all the people got together, they had a real encounter with the Holy Spirit. And what they didn't expect was the way he brought them all to their knees, and they started confessing things. They started repenting. Now, these are top pastoral people in the land, you know, and you think, oh, their lives are perfect. They're not, any more than anybody else's are. We all have this part of us which God wants to touch. There's more in our lives that we need to let him into. One of the things that was said was that they all felt that there were things in their lives that were hurting God. Things they were not prepared to give up, perhaps. Or they tried and they just failed miserably. You know, we all have struggles like that, don't we? And God was saying, my heart's hurting because you're not coming to me to let me help. So they began to realize that that means we have to give up our body, soul, and spirit to the Lord and say, have it all. It's all yours. That way I'll get the help I need, and you'll get who you need to help with the, you know, spreading of the gospel across the nation. So that was a wonderful thing that happened on that day. The next day, let's see what happened that night. I can't remember, actually. Oh, yes. God started to show them that what he was looking for in his church at the moment is an army of people. The army of the Lord. Amen. And he said, you know, that, again, you can't join an army just because you're available. You have to be suitable. So there's a little more to it this time, not just availability, but suitability. And but it starts with a decision. Do you want to be part of God's army? If God is going to visit this nation, and he says he is, he's looking for the army of the Lord to march behind him, because he's the captain of the army. And that means that we all need to recognize the voice of our captain. Now, the Bible does say that my sheep know my voice. And sometimes I think, Lord, you didn't say anything to me about what to preach in Mercer for 2 weeks. My sheep hear my voice. But you see, what God was doing was he was sowing things into my heart and into Alice's heart, which until we gathered it all together, didn't make any sense. So we do hear God's voice, but we need to be hearing the voice of the captain of the army of the Lord now, because the Lord wants to visit this nation. Why? Because he wants this nation to play a part in a revival which will take over the whole of the earth. It's going to be massive. How many of you don't want to miss it? You don't want to miss it, do you? So that means we've got to start now doing the things that God has told us to do. And that requires us to give up some things. During the 3 days of the prayer and fast, there were opportunities for people who wanted to come onto the night watches on Zoom. And Alistair and I joined in. And the night watches were fabulous. And the thing was that this place in Northampton was far too small for the number of people that turned up for the conference. And so at night time they thought, well, at least we'll have less people at night because they'll all go to bed, you know. But they didn't. None of them went to bed. They were all on the floor and they were all crying out to God and they were saying, Lord, save this nation, save our relatives, save our sisters and brothers. And, you know, they were crying out to God. And it was amazing. And it was a sign of what God is actually doing. So, there's one of the guy, Jonathan Oliedi, who is heading up part of this NDOPW, came on to the Zoom with us and told us a little bit about what was being, you know, what God was actually doing amongst the people that were praying and all the rest of it. And he said, God has told us that he's going to send fire to the British Isles. You look shocked. There's a part of you that's thinking, I don't know if I believe that. But that's exactly why why Britain missed it last time, because the people didn't believe. But God had gathered, you know, 400-500 people together and spoke to them and said, I'm going to send fire to the British Isles. He didn't say when, but he said he's going to do it. The conditions are this. First of all, come back to me. Come back to me. Come to my altar and let the things that upset me about your life be placed there so I can help you deal with them. And then spend time in my presence, getting to know me more deeply. Spend time in my word, digging out the stonework that's going to be the solid foundation for other people's lives when they find Jesus. And consecrate yourselves. What does consecrate mean? It's like we all know, but we don't know how to put it in words. It's difficult, isn't it? Alistair, you were good at this. Dedicate, exactly. Yeah. Dedicate yourself, consecrate yourself, separate yourself, make yourself available to God. Tell him how much he means to you, how much he loves you, because he does. And for that reason, he wants to visit this group of islands, the British Isles, because he's promised us for generations a great big revival, and we haven't seen it. Because every time he started to do something, the Christian church disobeyed. And when they did that, it stopped. And he's saying, I'm giving you another chance. I'm going to visit these islands. And this nation that has been a sending nation of missionaries all around the world in the past will do it again. And people will hear the word, and the message will be taken far and wide, so that God's revival will come all over the earth before things turn sour. Because they will, when the enemy gets his turn. So those really are, that's really what I wanted to say, except for one thing. The people at the conference asked him, how many of us will make it? Who will make it? And he said, everyone will make it who will endure. If you will endure, you will see it. You will see with your eyes. So it's about endurance, and I think endurance is something, you know, the Bible talks about he who endures to the end, you know. It's something God, it's a character of God. Where do we get endurance? We get it at the altar. We ask the Lord, I need to have that endurance, I need it. I need to know what are the things in my life that actually make you cry. What are the things that are upsetting you? I can't bear it. The thought that you died for me, you've been to the cross for me, you've been resurrected for me, you've given me this life. I'm so grateful and thankful for it. But you're saying there are things in my life you don't like. What are they? I need to know. And let the Lord show us. And you know, it's not going to take years. It's like God can show you in an instant. You can say, Lord, forgive me for that. I didn't see it. And he can put it right, so that we become the army of the Lord together. Passionate, militant, standing for God. No more sickness in the church. No more sickness in our relatives. Amen? The promises that have been always yea and amen are ours. And it's time for us to march across the land and take the truth everywhere. And see the work of the Holy Spirit taking people's lives for the kingdom. Because when Jesus comes back, it says the train of his robe will fill the temple. The train is made up of all the, you know, in the coronations. They all walk down the aisle with great long trains, don't they? And the little kids all carry the train. Well, it won't be the little kids that will be carrying the train. It'll be all of us carrying the train, because all of us will be part of it in order to fill the temple. Very special. So I'm going to hand over to Alistair now. He's looking at me. It's your turn. And what I would ask you to do, when you get home, write that scripture down, because this is the foundation. Not for every church, but for Merston. It's the foundational scripture God wants you to think about and meditate upon and discuss with one another and really see what he's getting at for this time for your lives. Amen?
Let's read verse 9, because we didn't get up to verse 9. We got as far as verse 8, and this is a kind of special one for God speaking to every one of you in this room, including me and Connie. Okay, it's up there. I have a different version again. I'm not sure if it's the same as that one. But you are a chosen race, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him you out of darkness into his marvelous light. I want to share one more scripture, because when we were reading about the history of this area, God just so reminded me about 1 Corinthians chapter 15, you know, let me read this, because I believe this is a word for you as well. I mean, you are positioned here by the Lord. You know, you think you chose to live here whenever you moved here, but God chose to position you here When he moved you, I know for some people, not mentioning any names, it was quite a tough work trying to get back here when he'd been moved out. But praise the Lord, he's back in the right place where God wants him to be. But this scripture is so important. I mean, when I read about these stones which are still standing in St. Paul's, you know, Windsor Castle, all these incredible places, you realize that's what God wants to do with his church. His church has got to be strong, powerful. You know, we've just read that scripture out of Matthew 24, verse 13, about he who endures to the end will be saved. Endurance, if you have to endure, that means there's going to be tough times. So you can't be, you know, I can't be strong in myself. You know, Ephesians 6, verse 10 says, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. But he will do that when you say, yes, I'm willing. Yes, I'm willing. He'll give us the strength we need for every skirmish, every battle, every situation that's going to come against us, and we will get through. And I really see this picture that not only are we going to get through, we're going to take a lot of people with us because of our steadfast determination. Let me read that scripture again. This is just as much as the one we've just read there from 1 Peter 2, verse 9. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 58. Therefore, my beloved... He's talking to you. Some of you think, I don't feel like I'm loved. You are his beloved. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3 to 6, it's great to read over yourself all the time, especially when you're feeling rejected. You know, he never rejects you. You are special to him. You are chosen by him. You are chosen for a purpose by him. Therefore, my beloved, you are his beloved. My beloved is mine, and I am my beloved. So that's what the Lord says to you. My beloved brethren, be steadfast like that rock solid quarry that came out of this area. That character of Merstham's quarry is the character God is releasing in you today. Maybe you haven't believed it in the past, but today God is saying, I will give you the spirit of faith to believe that you are steadfast, you are sturdy, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. That is a word for you for this coming year. You're going to be immovable. Hebrews chapter 12 talks about things being shaken. You know, the sun, the earth and the stars and everything is going to be shaken. But the things of God will remain. They will be unshakable. And that's what God is saying. We are like that rock that was quarried out of this area. That's the characteristic, that's the power that God is going to put into you in these coming days. And you'll notice it, because the things you might have sort of shrunk back from in the past when people have come up and talked about things that are a bit controversial, maybe things that you'd rather not talk about, the Lord says, you will speak about it because I am in you and my strength is more than enough to win through every battle. And sometimes, you know, there's a scripture in Isaiah 59 which talks about when there's unrighteousness. You know the scripture well anyway, or you know the passage. When there's unrighteousness and injustice and truth is afar off, it goes on to say, God looks from heaven and he looks for an intercessor. He says he didn't find an intercessor. Now, what does he mean by an intercessor? We all know what an intercessor is. An intercessor is a person of prayer who stands in the gap and stands before God on behalf of other people who are not doing what God wants them to do. And he says he found none. But that word for the intercessor, if you look back in the original Hebrew, it actually means more than just a person of prayer. It means somebody who confronts. That's why he was so annoyed when he looked down from heaven, because he found unrighteousness, injustice, truth being, lies being being proclaimed as truth. And you know, we hear that today. Fake news is like the in thing, isn't it? You never know what you're reading, whether it's truth, unless you've got the Holy Spirit to discern it. So it's so important for us to understand that he's looking for an intercessor who confronts things that are wrong. It's so easy to see something wrong and think, it's not my, somebody else will do that. Have you ever thought that? I know I have. Oh, someone else will look after that. Someone else can do that. I don't fancy that job. But when the Holy Spirit comes upon you and you see these unrighteous things, God's looking down from heaven. He says, I've chosen you. I've chosen you. confront those things. Now, I've confronted people sometimes, and it hasn't gone the way I hoped it would. How many of you thought, you know, when I came out of Bible school, I thought, 3 weeks and the whole of Oxford's going to be saved. Then what am I going to do with my life? Didn't happen. Worked for years and years and years. But, you know, sometimes when I know how I got saved. This is going longer than I wanted. I know I got saved. Somebody invited me to a Christian lunch, and it was really nice. It was serving up spaghetti bolognese, and we were having good conversations. We'd moved into an area of new people around. And I went for my second helping. I shouldn't have done that. But I was feeling hungry. So the guy dishes it out, and he's talking to me, and he says, "But are you really saved?" And I got so offended by that. I got so offended. I thought, "Who do you think you are telling me? You think you're better than me?" All those things that happen in most of our minds. But all that week, resounding in my chest, I was driving because I was running my own business, driving the car, and God was speaking. I didn't realize it was God at the time. Are you really saved? See, so sometimes when you are confronted, you can get angry. I did ask myself, why did I get so angry? I'm not usually an angry person. I don't usually get, you know, I'm quite tolerant with most people. And all these challenges came to me because God loved me so much, he wanted me to take that step. And that's what he wants to do with us today. So we're going to finish here. We're going to pray together. We're going to gather together here and pray for this Juliet and those specific things. But we want to finish with a song. And we could have played it, but it sounds much better if we use the actual original song, because it's quite a powerful song. Okay, so you can stand up, you can march, you know, because Con's been talking about being the army, because it's got that sort of beat which you can march to. You know, I'm not putting pressure on you, but if you don't do it, I'll get you later.